Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. We're here on the Edge Brains, the place where the conversation is what? Pointed, the guests are what? Sharp, and the responses are never dull. We're here with the good mom coach.
Yay!
Jody Schilling. She's a podcaster. She's a good mom. But I'm going to go with her back and forth. Now, you know I love my brains, and we can agree to disagree. But I want to know what this good mom stuff is. Is it negotiation? Is it being very traditional? Is it being very contemporary? Is it, you know, unschooling, unruling? I have no idea. And parenting is something that is very subjective. People get real crunchy when you talk about their parenting or their parenting style. So what does this look like in 2022? And how does that fit in with work-life balance for women like you and I, Jody? So welcome to The Edge.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. Tell us how you show up in the world and how you found podcasting and, you know, the desire to want to help parents coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have four kids of my own, and that's my number one job. I felt like that was my purpose, and my, you know, I felt so blessed to have four kids. They're all as unique as every human being. And I'm also a teacher at heart. And so I taught for 20 years in public education also. And I found out that I was seeking, whether it was with my kids or being a teacher or whatever I was doing, I was trying to get approval all the time. And I thought you had to be good at whatever you did, you had to be the best. It's not a bad thing, but when you're seeking that constantly externally, you'll never get it. So I decided that when my kids went through some pretty challenging things, they had a range, you know, this is the thing about neurodiversity is the idea that we all have different brains. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we need to separate kids who learn differently and say that they're neurodiverse and then others are neurotypical. I think we're all neurodiverse. And I think that as human beings, we are. And I think it's a beautiful thing, actually, that we are. Somewhere along the line, we got the idea that kids who learn differently or act differently are somehow less than. And I don't think that that's true. I think that if you really understand how kids who have different types of learning styles and behaviors, and even if we go down the road of you know, making choices and getting into the wrong crowd and things like that, that really what's happening is that kids are, and human beings are, they're doing the best they can to try to connect, to try to do a good job. And we just, it isn't always an easy thing, but we don't have to judge that and say that that's good. If you are if you were lucky enough to be able to get those skills and go along pretty easily, and it's bad if you somehow have a different way of learning. Because I'll tell you what I've learned both as a teacher and as a mom is that the kids who have some struggles in the areas that we think are good are brilliant in other areas, absolutely brilliant. And so when we start to see people as diverse and as having this range, that's where we make connections with kids. That's where we can make an impact, and we don't have kids feeling disconnected and going down those paths of substance use and depression and suicidal ideation and all of that, because we did have that in our family. And so I learned so much from it. And then because we got to the other side of it and I got over my own stuff, trying to be perfect and, you know, do all the things, and I got my own self cleaned up. And then I saw how, as a family, we could go through these really, really hard things that are really not well understood in the world. And we could be a cohesive family and we could have unconditional love in our family and we can have all the messy stuff too, but we could stay connected. And so when I was able to do that with my own family, after going through so many things that were so challenging, I really wanted to share it with other families and other moms, because it's, you know, the world challenges us. We know that for sure in the last couple of years, right? I mean,
every day is a struggle. That's one of my sayings, the struggle is real. Yes. And when you put it in perspective, I understand what you're saying. If we catch it in the formative years, then we're going to have more well-adjusted adults. But there's adults that are dealing with epigenetics, generations of trauma.
Yes.
You know, when you talk about learning disabilities, that can be everything from me. I had a touch of dyslexia.
Yeah.
And I can't explain what I don't know. Come to find out, my daughter had the same thing. You can't explain something that you don't know. You've got kids that are on the spectrum of autism, that they are ADHD. You know, when I was going to school, they just called them hyperactive and bad.
Right.
But they would not isolate them. They would not bully them. You know, you did have special education courses, but those were for kids that really had some developmental disabilities that were quote unquote obvious. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was a lot different. But now the classrooms are different. The teachers are struggling.
Yes.
You know, they did not sign up to be a bulletproof vest. They did not sign up to be the mask monitor. They did not sign up to be bullied by parents. They signed up to teach your kids their ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, and try to love on them, you know, and be that extended family. So it is difficult. But when it comes to parenting, you've got all these people that have their own stuff. Like you clearly said, you had to clear up your own stuff so that you were able to help your children go through that.
Yeah.
Because there's certain things. I mean, you know, you're looking at the world now. There's drugs. There's the internet. There's a lot of violence. I was looking at a television show. I watched it for an hour and I think they killed 20 people.
Oh, I know.
So
I know.
All of that is desensitizing us. And then the lies from mainstream media, influences from different people. So when you say a good mom coach, you know, you want to be open to your children.
Okay? Absolutely.
But I'm a little different on that. I'm a disciplinarian. Because without rules, to me, there's chaos. And I'm going to try to, you know, ward off the boyfriend that doesn't look good for my daughter. I'm going to go through your backpack and see if I see anything that looks like it could be dangerous to you, be it drugs or a weapon. You know, I'm going to look at your phone if I'm paying the bill. So if that's putting me in a category of being the helicopter mom, I got my pilot's license.
Yes. Yes, I think that the key is, what is the message you want to send, right, to your kids? What is the end game that you want for them?
I'm the boss. You know, I give it to you 110%. I'm the boss. And when you live in my house, you're going to do what I say do for the most part. Because once they hit that door, they belong to the world.
Yeah.
You do everything that you can. You provide shelter and conversation and love and nurturing. You're there for your children. But then you got to work.
Yeah.
You got your own stuff.
Right.
That you have to unpack. And then you got four kids. Four different personalities. See, you're braver than me. I did one and I was one and done. I got a puppy after that.
I was like, nope.
But, you know, you got four very unique personalities. And then they're feeding off of each other because there's a pecking order. I mean, you know, and that's no disrespect, but everybody is jockeying for a position and jockeying for attention. What do you say to that mother that's struggling?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that really it's the story that we tell about whatever the situation is that is the one that, like, what you feed is what you create. Right. So if you feed a story of I can't meet the needs of all these four kids, right? I can't, like, I'm constantly, if I'm taking care of this one, I can't take care of that one. If that's the story you're telling yourself, then you're going to be a frantic mess. You know, you really are. But when you say everyone in this family gets what they need, some people are going to wait. Sometimes you're going to have to wait for it, but you're going to get what you need most. What's the bottom line that I want them to see and hear and learn? And like you said, it's different for different people because we bring our own, we have our own trauma history. We have our own parenting styles. We have our own, you know, values and things that really matter to us. And we are going to project those onto our kids. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We don't need to try to keep up with the Joneses or whatever, you know, like think about what other people are doing. We can own what we value, but we got to think about what's the message to the kids. And so,
but you know, some of those messages, okay, let's outline some of them.
Yeah.
To delegate.
Yeah.
There's six people in the house. I'm not doing everything.
Absolutely.
And with that delegation comes responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You have to earn what you get. I know my daughter, she couldn't drive until she could afford to pay her car insurance because she had a buy-in. She couldn't have a cell phone until she could afford to pay the bill. She has a buy-in. There's responsibility. There's consequences. What about the liability? The liability of the parents.
Right.
You know, what about the overall relationship between husband and wife? Come on, there's still got to be some canoodling. If you're dealing with four kids, you're dealing with all this outside stuff, there's a lot of combustion.
For sure.
And that's hard. Guilt as a mom.
Yeah.
You know, and being shamed by other people. Oh, well, you know, you're, you know, her son is on drugs or whatever. Well, have you checked your kid's backpack?
Yeah.
You know, probably brought the drugs from your kid. You know, talking about that. And conversation. Conversation is paramount.
Yes.
When you get anybody in the house that shuts down.
Red flag.
You know, but again, you got six people in the house because you got four kids. It's easy to get swept under the rug. It's easy to kind of go and not be noticed. It's easy to not do that. But trying to set up one-on-ones with each person to understand their own individual needs, it's a lot. And it's a lot for you, Jody. How did you help yourself outside of your family? How did you find time and do self-care for yourself?
Yeah, any way I could.
I get you.
I mean, no, seriously. No, I realized, you know, I think there was a time where I thought to myself, when was the last time I got my hair cut? I remember we were living in Alaska and my kids they're all 2 years apart. And it was just crazy. I used to cut my own bangs and I just hadn't gotten in for my hair or anything. And for a really long time. And I thought, I can't even remember. Like I didn't remember when I had taken just, you know, time for myself just to, and then also I was wearing, you know, I just kind of like lowered my expectations about the way I showed up.
Right. I mean, you wasn't trying to
put myself last.
Yeah. You weren't trying to get your cute on, put on your eyeliner, make sure that you were color coordinated. Oh no, I got to get to the market because I got to do this or I got to get to work. And it's go, 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 go. So that's beautiful that you press the pause button. And then how did you feel when you just really got a hold of yourself and you said, you know what, I'm deserving of more. How did that make you feel?
Yeah, no, I think those are those moments when you have that recognition that you have let yourself down in some way, and then you realize, hey, you know what? I matter. You know what? I matter. My feelings matter. The way I look, the way I want to feel good about myself. That when those shifts happen, and you know, sometimes they're just small. I mean, if you don't pay attention to them, you can lose them. You know what I mean? So you have to be in touch enough to be able to say, yeah, that's a message that's coming through that I need to do this. And
right.
Because it's a terrible feeling when you get too disconnected from yourself. you know, and that happened to me where I was just scrambling all the time. And I, instead of recentering myself and saying, okay, what am I doing here? You know what? What am I really doing? I was so just like going the other direction and caught up in getting approval and doing everything right, making sure this child was taken mm-hmm. care of, trying to remember all the information, right? This kid has this appointment on this day. This kid has this. And you can't be present. You can't have quality conversations. You can't have a healthy marriage. I mean, you go to bed, you're not going to be getting anything on in the bedroom when you are literally exhausted. You know, it's just not good. It's not good for any relationship.
Thinking that you could mess around and conjure up baby number five. It's like, you better not touch me, boy. You're like, going to go to sleep.
No way.
You know, but it can be fun. It can be fun because it is a challenge. And there is an opportunity because not only are you dealing with challenges, but you're also dealing with sparks of inspiration and their individuality and their laughter and their joy and their hobbies and their sports. And there's a lot there. As being a teacher, you've seen it from both sides. And I know that you have had to walk a tightrope because heaven forbid you say something off color to a parent about their, you know, possibly seeing a bruise on their child or possibly wondering why the homework's not getting done or they're not changing their clothes. Are they living in a car? You know, it's very, very difficult and people don't respect and honor teachers the way that they do. And, you know, that, and again, like I said, dealing with all those things in your own life. So you decided, well, you know what? I'm going to do something different. I'm going to start a podcast. Tell me about your podcast.
Yeah, I did. After I decided that we had come through those challenges with our kids and they were all getting to that point of early adulthood, right? And getting ready to fly the nest and, you know, that whole piece. And then it gave me a chance to breathe, honestly, mm-hmm. and to say, okay, what do I really want to do? And so being in education, which I still am, I work with kids that have behavior struggles. So I'm a behavior specialist. But what I really wanted with the podcast was I wanted moms to be able to tune in once a week and hear real life stories of the challenges that moms go through, especially the big ones. Like if your kids are using drugs, it's a scary, scary thing. You know, it's like we do everything possible to keep our kids from going down that route. Or, you know, or if your kids have autism and they're really, really struggling with behaviors, there is not, you know, there's still stigmas out there. There's not a lot of support when you're in Costco and your kid's having a meltdown. And so I wanted to provide that.
Everybody's looking at you and you're like.
Yeah. You're like you. And I always want to say, you know what? People give me advice about it. Like, oh, they're pushing your buttons. I want to say, oh, you know what? You want to try it for a week?
You know what? I sit there and I say, okay, or when you're done. And then after you showed up and showed out, we just go out to the car. Now you just lost your privilege. And so we're just, but it's a strategy. But then sometimes children have meltdowns and they're severe and they can't control that.
Yeah.
And so there is a certain shame that shows up.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want anybody to see this, or, you know, I don't want anybody to talk about, you know, my kids. And so many times that shame shows up when that should be an opportunity for a teachable moment. Mm-hmm. And if you follow my show, you'll see I do teachable moments all the time. I give my little two cents on what I think about that. But this is an opportunity for you to say, you know what? My child has a challenge, you know? I saw a little girl, I mean, she was just going crazy. And I looked at her and I said, oh, I totally understand where you're coming from. I'm upset too. The line is too long. And we laughed.
Hot in here.
She went from here to here. And her mother was shocked. It's a changing your voice tone, your voice inflection. And being, you know, your brother and sister's keeper. It used to be where you could have a village and they would support you. Now they want to ostracize you. They want to put you in the town square and throw rocks at your head. And it's so combative. And that's what we're teaching our children. Instead of seeing a person in a wheelchair and saying, oh, that's unfortunate. What happened to you? Instead of snickering and talking about them. Absolutely. And it's adults. Kids do not grow up with ugliness. They're taught this. They're taught this.
I agree.
On so many different levels. So on your podcast, are you interviewing guests? Are you, you're interviewing guests and you're also providing information? Are you doing commentary? Tell me a little bit more about the show. What, you know, you decided to have these great conversations, but what's the format and what kind of guests are you looking for?
Yes, I am. Usually I'm having a anecdotal story once a week of something that is very common and problematic for moms. And I have a strategy for it or a story that I can share that can give them something concrete that they can take and try. My most recent one was, you know, when we think about being more intentional, you know, what is a way that we can do that? What's something quick and easy as a mom when you're writing in your journal, you know, so that you can think about things and also give yourself some credit for what you're doing right.
Because
we beat ourselves up.
Absolutely.
So I do those anecdotal kind of stories and then something they can take away. And I try to keep my episodes around 15 minutes because moms, you know, they're listening to it while they're vacuuming or going to the carpool or whatever. So I try to keep them short and succinct. And then I do interview guests and I am always looking for guests that have a unique, they're going through one of the unique stages of motherhood. One of my most popular guests was a mom of adult kids. And she talked about how they tell us all the things about, you know, how to deal with the terrible twos or, you know, the homework battles when kids are younger or, you know, these different things. But there's not a lot of support out there for the stage of when your kids are young adults and they're going to be.
Girl, there's no template when they're adult adults.
Yeah.
I told you, I was on the phone trying to negotiate something for my 34-year-old.
Yeah.
Newsflash, brains, they never go away.
Right?
And you
I know, and that relationship changes a lot.
Oh my God. Now, let's talk about that a little bit. You got grown folks living in your house. They need to handle, in my opinion, some grown folks' business.
Absolutely.
You need to contribute. Nobody lives in this world for free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm not going to tell you to take a shower. I'm not going to tell you to clean up your room. I'm not going to tell you to take out your trash. You're grown. See, a lot of people have this misconception that 18 is this magic number. And all of a sudden, abracadabra, this is going to be this mature adult with a job. And, you know, they're going to be out on their own. Well, mine didn't move out till she was 28. Number one, the state of the economy, they can't afford it.
Absolutely.
But when you turn that magic number 18, you are now considered a woman. You know,
you're 21, an adult.
21, you can buy alcohol and you will be treated as such. I'm not going to coddle you. I'm not going to pay your bills. I'm not going to be disrespected. None of that stuff. None of that.
Because it's not. I mean, if you think about what's the outcome of that, right? I mean, you're not, it's disrespectful really to the young adult you're really sending the message. I go back to what I said at the beginning about what is the message you're sending? You're not sending a message that says, I trust you. You're 18 now and you can make some adult decisions. And yeah, you're going to make some that are mistakes. I mean, that's how we grow. That's how we learn. But I trust you to go through that process. I'm not going to hold your hand and coddle and, you know, because you're really sending the message that you don't trust them.
Right.
And that I don't think anybody, I mean, anytime, I don't know if you feel this way too, but whenever I feel from somebody else that they don't trust me or they don't believe in me, then I tend to adopt that same belief pretty easily.
But you know, I'm not a strong advocate of the word trust. Because trust, in my opinion, is contingent on something else. I trust you if you do dot, 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 dot. I don't trust you if you do ... You know,
yeah, I understand.
Yeah, it can hold you hostage. Mm-hmm. So I want my child, and I want children out there to understand that for every action, there's a reaction. That, you know, for every cause, there's an effect. And the things that hurt you the most in life are some of your best teachers. And unfortunately, you cannot relive your life vicariously through your children.
That's it.
You know, I see some parents that I had a very heartwarming conversation with a parent that their child came out to them that they were gay. And all I could hear was what I want. I want grandchildren, and I don't want. And again, I had to pump the brakes. It's not about you.
That's right.
Don't you want to love your child? Don't you want to be respected? Don't you want to be able to have that conversation? You know, technology is amazing. You can have, you know, a baby any which way. You can have 4 or 5. So that has nothing to do with it. But how you treat, like you said, how you show up in the world, how you relate to your children, they will never forget. Those conversations will be ingrained in them. And again, that creates that dynamic and that legacy of how they're going to treat their partner, how they're going to treat their kids. You know, yes. Really, what is the root cause? Were they just experimenting with drugs and got caught up in it? Or is there really trauma that we really didn't realize because, you know, you didn't speak up or I didn't speak up or, you know, but it's nobody's right. fault.
Right.
It's nobody's fault. And there's exactly. always time to do corrective action. So
absolutely.
In the perfect world, you didn't have 4 kids. You were single. You were just living a vila, what is it? Vila loca. This is life. What would you be doing right now? What would you be doing if you had no kids? You just could just be whimsical. What would you do?
Wow. I wasn't expecting that question, but you know what I would be doing is I would be creating art.
Wow.
Yeah.
What type of art? Pottery or...
painting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And if you were an animal, Jody, what animal would you be and why?
I would want to be, I think, an eagle. I would want to fly. I would want to be powerful. And I'd want to be able to see up above and have a wide angle view.
I'd be a party animal.
Love it.
I get my party on all the time. What are 3 things that you can absolutely not live without? I don't want to hear about the husband. I don't want to hear about the kids. I already know about them. But what are 3 things that you can't live without?
I can't live without sunshine. Mm. Tried that when we lived in Alaska.
Now, you know what? I was telling somebody about Alaska the other day, and it's one of my favorite places on the planet. It would be hard to live there, but... it was.
Oh, gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's gorgeous. No, it is. I don't think I could live without books. I just, it's the teacher in me maybe, but yeah, they've always been a place where I feel like I can escape and I can learn. And yeah, I couldn't live without books. And I think the third thing I could not live without is, I think, we didn't talk about it much today, but just the concept of loving someone that, you know what I mean? Like if that's, I feel like that's why we're here. I think we're here to love. I think we're here to love people. And yeah, I couldn't live without loving someone. So
do you believe in unconditional love?
I do.
Really?
I do.
See, we can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
I got conditions on mine. Got a whole checklist. No, I'm just kidding. No, really. But again, love to me is like trust. It's something that you need to work toward that you can build upon. You start with a foundation. You add, you know, it's like building a wall. You add mortar. You add more bricks. You smooth it out. You let it settle. Then you mm-hmm. add more. But just to kind of just give it, I don't know. And then when people take it away, when they feel unloved, You know, it's difficult for me. And I talk to many of my guests about that. It's not that I don't love you, Braze. I love each and every one of you to pieces. But what I'm talking about, serious, down to the core, unconditional, that's a big $25 word.
Mm-hmm.
There's no filter on it. There's no condition. There's no reasoning. There's no posturing, no pontification. It's a lot to go through. With your kids, sure, you're going to love them unconditionally. I guess until they hit you over the noodle and snatch your purse and, you know, upon your teeth.
Yeah.
Then the conditions will change. But you don't ever want to have that feeling because there's a shame associated with that when, you know, some people are not really cut out to be moms. Jody, you know that. You've seen that in education. You've seen them where they just come and drop the kid off. They can't wait to get them in your classroom for 4 or 5 hours. So it's hard. What do you say to the mother that's struggling? She's struggling right now. She just is about to pull her, you know, her wig off. She can't take it. She's screaming inside. What do you say?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got to tell the truth to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if she's struggling so much that she, you know, doesn't feel like she has the capacity, then she needs to reach out. She needs to tell the truth about it because, you know, honestly, I think as human beings, we have our limits. We truly have our limits and we all reach them sometimes. We all get to a point where we just can't show up. We just have to say, I gotta take a pass right now. And people judge that. They say, you know, like, you don't have a choice. You're a mother. You have to do X, Y, Z. You have, you know, you just,
right.
But if you can't, you can't, you know? And so I say to the mom really, really struggling, you're not alone. Number one, you are not alone. There are literally thousands of mothers who are probably going through literally the exact same experience that you are right now, that you're feeling. And there are people who are, they want more than anything to help. If you reach out, I think that's something that we have to normalize, is asking for help and saying, right, I'm struggling, and just not have shame about it. Just say, this is where I'm at right now. This is the truth of the matter. And because that child that needs that mother and that support right then, there's so many ways that a child can get love from a teacher, an auntie, you know what I mean? Like, this is where we have to do it takes a village. Mm-hmm. This is where we have to do that part where it does take a village sometimes. And postpartum depression is a real thing.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Right. And so that's where, I mean, and it's okay for us to agree to disagree about unconditional love, but I have love for the mother really struggling. Yeah,
I do too.
You know what I'm saying? And so for anybody who's not showing up the way they want to show up, if they tell the truth about that, then they know it and they can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They can ask for forgiveness.
But there's fear there because of being judged, of mm-hmm. being shamed, mm-hmm. you know, it's difficult for me to understand. I don't want to tell everything. There's a person that I know that has had 10 children and all of those children are in foster care and she's pregnant now.
We froze.
Froze? Okay. So I'll count you in. Keep, are you still frozen? Can you hear me?
Okay. I think we're back.
Okay.
We froze. One of us did.
All right. I'll count you back in on three. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I have a person that I know that has had 10 children and all of them are in foster care and she's pregnant again. I don't get it. And if somebody said that they heard that story and they didn't have a judgment, I wouldn't believe them because it's rattling around in my brain. She's not cut out to be a mother. I don't know what she's seeking, what she's looking for. It's not, you know, it's not money. It's not wealth. It's, you know, what is it? So some people aren't able to do that. The family dynamics are changed now because now you've got same-sex parents. Mm-hmm. No, you got two women, or you got you know, two men that are raising children now. That puts a whole different dynamic on it. Because a woman, I don't care how smart you are, it's hard to teach a man to be a man. Mm-hmm. And a man, you know, they can teach you how to paint your fingernails and all that kind of stuff, but to the intricate part of a woman. So those are challenges that kids are facing now that we probably didn't face as openly and as broadly when we were growing up. That just wasn't something that people openly talked about. But that is the way of the world now. Correct. And we have to get in line or we're going to be left behind. Things are going at warp speed. Yes. It's changing so fast, and we need to listen to our children. They will tell us more than we probably need to know. And when the one is not talking, then maybe that's the one that needs to go out with ice cream or go for a walk or do an art project with. You know, yes. See what colors they're painting with, because they're going to tell their story.
That's right. You know?
So a lot of things you are doing in this space is wonderful. And I really commend you for being the good mom coach, because I wanted to know what that was all about. And it's, you know, there's no recipe that
is not cookie cutter. No. And that's what I was going to say, too. You know, the whole concept of the good mom, honestly, is that we think that that's defined externally. We think it's defined by, you know, if you all sit down and have a healthy dinner together and you don't have sugar cereals and you have, you know, whatever, right? We think that there's all these rules about being a good mom. And what I always tell every mom I work with and on my podcast is that you define good mom on your terms, but you do that through what you truly value, right? Like, this is where telling the truth about it comes out too. Mm-hmm. So like, that's where those messages and being, one of my favorite phrases is to be a warm demander, to, you know, to be with your kids. It's like the tough love concept, but you have some expectations so that you are preparing them, right? So that they're, you're giving the scaffold or the stepping stone or whatever you need to give them to get them ready to, for that next step. But the goal, the end game is for them to be independent. And so, yeah, so
it's that's an independent functioning part of society.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
That could be a carpenter, a candlestick maker, an Emmy Award winning actors, you know, or just a good housewife, you know, just to be able to be a truth teller. And I love that. I really love that. It's to tell the truth. As mama say, tell the truth and shame the devil. Jody, you are amazing. Please tell my guests and my brains how to get in contact with you. I want them to work with you. I want them to tune into your podcast. I want them to reach out to you so that you can vet them to see if they're a good candidate to be on your show, all of those things. How do they get in contact with you?
Yes. Good Mom Coach is, that's for everything. So it's goodmomcoach.com is my website. The Good Mom Podcast is the podcast, comes out every Thursday. It's on Apple and Spotify and all the podcast platforms, and Instagram and Facebook, Good Mom Coach. It's all the same thing. Good Mom Coach is across everything.
Well, again, I hope that they really take full on advantage of what you have to offer, because, you know, you didn't have to do this. You didn't have to open up your space. You didn't have to be a teacher, you know, and you could have just stayed home and painted pretty pictures. But you have created a masterpiece, a mosaic, and you've put all the pieces together. And again, I commend you for that.
Brains, thank you so much.
I need you to get yourself together. And look at yourself. Before you start telling your kids what they should and shouldn't do, take a good long look in the mirror. Write in your journal. Go back and think about some of the things that traumatized you. Are you repeating those same cycles? How you talking to your kids? Are you cussing at them and hollering at them and disrespecting them? Because that's how they're going to grow up. Are you bullying them? Because they're going to go to school and bully somebody else. Or are you loving on them and brushing their hair and laughing with them and tickling them? All four of them. You're a great mom. Thank you so much. And Brains, like I said, do the very best that you can. You know, there's no template, but tell the truth and be honest with it and recognize it. And if you need help, don't be afraid to ask. That's what we're here for, on the edge.
Amen.
We want to give you information. All right. Talk to you later, Jody. Bye, Brains.